Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. And thank you for that little rabbit chasing we went on. We spent some time in Acts 19. Was that not amazing? I tell you, that word is really spoken to me personally, but also to the body of Christ around us here. And there's some serious things there. So I want to back up a little bit. We're in 1 Corinthians 16, and we've been looking at verse 8 and 9. And out of 8 and 9 took us to Acts 19. And that was, what, a week ago? Something like that. But I want to go back to verse 5 to set the scene here, to remind you what's going on. Paul's wrapping his letter up, okay? And he's coming to an end right here. And he's letting them know logistics. So in verse 5, he says this, "But I will come to you after I go through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia." You know, sort of interesting. He reiterates that, very definitive, you know? Then verse 6, "And perhaps I will stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I may go." And so it's not so much that Paul's inviting himself over for a little bit of a stay, though he is, but he's the one that brought the gospel to them. And he has every right to come in to see what's going on, what's happening, you know, be with them, to encourage them and exhort them. And he says, you know what, I'm probably going to spend a little time there, maybe the winter. In a couple of verses, he's going to say, hey, I'm going to remain here in Ephesus until Pentecost. Pentecost is like April, May, right around there in the springtime. Okay, he says, then I'm going to come see you, and I may spend the winter there. So he's going to spend a period of months there. And he said, then you can send me on my way wherever I may go. In other words, you can bless me and send me off. There's also the understanding, the expectation that if possible, if God moves upon your heart, that you would support this. Okay, you would help me with this. Verse 7, "For I do not wish to see you now just in passing." In other words, he can just pass through and say hi. He wants to spend some time with him. "For I hope to remain you some time with you for some time, if the Lord permits." Notice all this is always, if the Lord permits, this is what I'm planning, this is what I'm hoping, but I know things change. Then verse 8, "But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective service has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." A wide door of empowerments, okay? Now, pressing on, verse 10, he says this, "Now, if Timothy comes, see that he is with you without cause to be afraid, for he is doing the Lord's work as I also am." And there's some really interesting things here in these next three or four verses we're going to look at. Because, you know, sometimes we forget that these folks are just like us. And Paul's, boy, he's bringing a corrective word. When you see Paul's letters to Timothy at the end of Paul's life, he's really exhorting him and encouraging him. He said, you know, let nobody look down upon your youth. Do this, do this, do this. It's often said, and I believe it's true, that Timothy apparently was a bashful little fellow in some form of fashion, you know. And so he's telling them, if he comes through, if he passes through, you make sure that he's not afraid. You make sure that there's no cause for fear. In other words, don't let anybody there play any shenanigans with him, okay? Because he's doing the Lord's work in the same way I'm doing the Lord's work. So in verse 11, he doubles down on it. "So let no one despise him." Well, that's a strong word, isn't it? Let no one despise him. It literally means this: let no one treat him with contempt. And knowing what he says later on in his letters to Timothy, Timothy was young. "So let no one look at him and despise him because of his youth." Then he says this, verse 11 continues, "But send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, for I expect him with the brethren." And so Timothy's traveling with a group of people. He says he may be coming through. If he is, you better see to it that he has no cause of fear. That's what that phrase means. Because he's doing the Lord's work. Don't let anyone despise him. No one despise him. He may walk in here and look like a young whippersnapper. We actually had that happen years and years ago, back in the late 80s. When me and I was a minister of music at a church and a youth pastor. And we decided to take this group of kids on a tour. Why not be a 15-day tour through the southeastern United States? And I think it was the first church we stopped at. We pulled in there. Had this bus and all this kind of stuff, you know. And the people were meeting us there, and we all got off, and they looked around, and they were about to die. We could see it in their face. We were messing with them. Because finally, they finally said, who's in charge here? And it was me and my buddy. And, you know, we were in our early 30s, okay, but we both could easily have passed for 17 or 18, something like that. It's like, who let the kids out, you know? So don't let anybody despise him because of youth or anything like that. But send him on his way in peace because he's coming to me. In other words, if you do anything, I'm going to hear about it because he's going to leave from you and he's going to come to me. Now, the next verse, listen to this. Paul says, but concerning Apollos, our brother, what? Why this but concerning? What, was there a concern about Apollos? Was there a question about Apollos? Okay. Remember, Paul in writing this is responding to the situation, the circumstance, the questions they had. And remember how he started the letter. Remember, there was division in the body of Christ because some said, I'm of Peter. Some said, I'm of Paul. Some said, I am of Apollos. Some said, I am of Christ. And he's saying, you know, picking up that Apollos thing at the beginning of the thing, concerning Apollos, our brother, our brother. So he calls him brother. He's not about to allow them to put any division between them. He says, I'm not going to do this. He's a brother concerning him. Then he says this, I encouraged him greatly to come to you with the brethren. So he's got a little traveling entourage too, you know, other brethren. And Paul says, I really encouraged Apollos to come to you. And it was, he says this, and it was not at all his desire to come now, but he will come when he has opportunity. I don't know exactly all the dynamics that are going on, but knowing people, as we all know people, can you imagine? Something was going down right here. Apollos was not passing through. Timothy was planning on passing through. Timothy was Paul's guy, right? And you could hear people saying, well, what happened to Apollos? Why is Apollos not coming? And he's telling them point blank, it was his decision. It was not at all his desire to come now. That is pretty strong, is it not? He says, I encouraged him greatly. I tried to talk him into it. I wanted him to come now, but it's not his desire to come now. So he's not coming to see y'all right now. But he will come when he has opportunity. Okay. And so apparently he doesn't have time. His travel schedule isn't allowed for it, whatever it may be. But Paul's letting him know. Concerning our brother Apollos right here, I really did. I encouraged him and encouraged him to come. But it was not his desire at all to come now. In other words, other things were going on. Other things were happening. Paul already said the same thing about himself. He says, hey, an effective door is open here. In Ephesus, I'm hanging out here a little longer. I'm going to stay here to Pentecost. But you know what? He's saying Apollos, he's going to stop off when he gets an opportunity. Now, the last verses, which we'll look at in the next couple of episodes, Paul just starts firing off these directives. I mean, they're great. They're great. But in the meantime, go back and reflect upon how Paul handled the relationships, how he was handling the friction, how he handled things which were correct, how he handled things which were incorrect. You know, the division, the dude that was having an affair with his dad's wife, that kind of thing, you know. Reflect upon that. I think the Lord's got some really good things for all of us to learn and glean and to start living in, don't you? Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you all in the next episode, okay? Goodbye.